What's up, fool? What's up, Rodrigo, man?
What's up, Felipe? How you doing, dog?
Man, you doing your Christmas shopping or what?
This fool, fuck. I got three gifts and that's
not
it.
Not for real? You don't buy gifts for nobody anymore?
Dude, this is what I buy. Dude, there's so much bullshit you can buy people that are not going to wear. Fucking books and like little cool little knickknacks that'll last forever, dog.
My dad's the worst person to buy gifts for, bro. Like, you buy him a nice shirt that he wear, that it fits him and nice, he'll never wear that motherfucker, but he'll wear a beat down ripped shirt that he's had for fucking 20 years.
Mi primera esposa. It fits right. It has that wear and tear, dog.
So
what? Shit's too crisp. Anyways, what's up, dog?
So what's up, fool, man?
It's chilling,
the year's
dog.
Over, bro. Any New Year resolutions or what? Get fatter, lose weight?
Dude, I don't know what's up with that whole lose weight shit. It's cool and all, but motherfuckers think that you're going to lose weight and all of a sudden you're going to be great or everybody's going to want it. It's like, dick, just be you, dog. I have been concentrating the last 3 years just be myself. Opposed to, I mean, I know motherfuckers want to look fine and pretty and shit, but that's my shit right now. My shit's to be me, dick. And like, to push it that way, dog. I think just to be a little bit more realer, be funnier, dog. Just, you know what I mean? Just be on top of my shit.
You're not one of those fat dudes that just puts on a sweater on winter and tries to be cute?
Fuck that, dog.
Come on, bro.
I'm a real teddy bear.
Because, man, sometimes, man, you start seeing, like, fat dudes busting out those sweaters early, late August.
Dick, that's what I was getting to. Fools right there is fucking fools are still sweating with sweaters on, dog.
I know, like, people, like once it starts getting cold, man, you start seeing, like, girls in L.A. start wearing boots early over there.
Damn, dog. They're at the corner out of my eye.
But it rained, though. It rained today. So, oh, I hope it did. Yeah, man.
But like that, dude, just to be real like that, dude, push it that way, dude.
So what's up, fool? We have a new guest today, man. We have a couple of guests today, but
yeah,
this guy is an artist from East Los Angeles, the real artist from East L.A., man.
Representing.
Not that new bullshit hipster movie in this shit.
A transplant.
Moving in here from the Midwest. It's going to hear fucking take our fucking style or shit. It's funny, man. Like when you see an artist, like, you know, I used to live in downtown LA, and everybody's an artist all of a sudden, man. Like, you want to be an artist? Just have your mom pay for your loft. That's how you're an artist. You know?
Trust fund artist.
And then, when I was living in the loft with a roommate, we were both comedians, and there was a lot of artists on the building. One guy, he made rockets. He that's all he did. He worked for I don't know what he's an engineer, but
Lockheed Martin,
man. But he's fucking this guy. He worked for Lockheed. He was a rocketeer. He made rockets. But you know what? He graduated from USC. Him and his girlfriend. He had broken up with his girlfriend. Bro. Guess what?
Don't tell me that fool made her in a robot.
No, bro. Worse than that. They're not boyfriend and girlfriend anymore, but guess what? They take turns on custody for the dog.
You're fucking kidding me, dog.
Corny and hipster can you get? Me and my girlfriend break up, bro. She ain't seen my fucking dog. Fuck her. She ain't seen my fucking dog. I don't care what fucking we fucking spend how many times together and we're breaking up and she wants to see my fucking dog. Fuck that, man. We're gonna get doggy style or you're gonna see this fucking dog. What the fuck, gay? We break up, man, and you're my girlfriend? You can't see my fucking dog.
It's just another way to get back in there, bro.
I know,
scam.
So his girlfriend will show up, man, and then she'll walk the dog for about 2 hours and then come back.
What the fuck?
So he was a rocketeer, man. The only thing I remember about him, man, was he fucking packed the smallest bowls.
And the robot's got to smoke too, dog.
Yeah, man. Like, if you're going to pack a bowl, make sure, man, I can't leave your couch before I leave.
Yeah, dog. All retarded.
So that was one artist. And there's another guy who's a photographer. He was a great photographer, but took a lot of photos. But, you know, you start knowing artists for a long time, man. You know what, man? Can you fucking take photos for me for a bottle of Southern Comfort?
I need some new headshots, eh?
So what's up, fool? This guy right here, man, I met him when I was on Last Comic Standing, and I think I met him before that. He was a writer for the magazine East Side Writer. He writes all the local stories for the local neighborhood. Like something, like, come on, man. Like, if you open the LA Times, you're going to hear about the fucking, about the how much of a great time we all had for self-help graphics at this show, you know, and he covers the special interest stories that regard the Latino community or Boyle Heights.
The word on the street.
If something happened in Boyle Heights, this guy will write it. But it has to be art. He don't write shit down either. They finally kicked out the Robles family.
Yeah. Have roaches, eh?
So what's up, fool? We got Rafael Cardenas, bro. What's up, bro?
Thank you for having me here.
But not only that, man, this guy from Slow Rider, man.
Slow Rider.
The band Slow Rider.
Yeah. The band Slow Rider, people.
Back in the days, I had the website. It was called East Sider Rider, not to be confused with LA East Sider, which is a new guy, which is he writes a lot too. But East Sider Rider was my attempt to like talk a lot about the East Side, of course. I was writing for a downtown magazine too at that time, Citizen LA, and then I decided to write about the East Side and started East Sider LA. I mean, East Sider Writer. But now my website is called Rafa.LA. That's it. So now I cover all of LA, and it's mostly photography. I stopped a lot of the writings.
So that was Rafa, R-A-F-A, or?
R-A-F-A punto L-A.
There'll be some guy looking at, okay, R-F-A. Oh, no, R-P-H. Fuck!
I tried to get Rafa.com, but it was taken by the Royal Air Force Academy.
God damn. Is that the English Air Force or Canadian Air Force?
So you grew up here in Boyle Heights or East LA?
I grew up what I call the Tri-City area, which is Boyle Heights, East LA, and City Terrace, where three of them meet.
Where's that literally at?
Right by Salesian Boys Club, up on top of the hill. Well, that's Alma, but two blocks over on I grew up on Dittman and Winter Street. Oh. But just two blocks out of Boyle Heights and right at the edge of where the City Terrace Hills start. But it's literally unincorporated LA, so I'm East LA.
Oh.
But yeah, Tri-City.
I don't know there was a Tri-City.
Tri-Hood.
Yeah. Me either, dog.
That's like, I was trying to find, man, where the hell is. But then again, in my head, I'm trying to find where the City Terrace meet LA. But it does meet. It meets over there, up the hill by that hazard, by that Anthony Quinn Library.
Well, that's the one you can take all
over
the hill.
What? Did I get it right? Once you get up there, and then Hazard Park meets there, and then once you get to the side where there's Hazard Park parking, you're already in City Terrace.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can take the street from the park to the Anthony Quinn Library.
Exactly.
That straight shot over the hill.
Which, by the way, it's Record Avenue.
Is it? Yeah.
On the record.
Yeah.
Record is where Belvedere Junior High
School. So I could have took the number 30 bus to your house.
The 68. Oh,
the 68.
30,
and you get 30, off on, get Floral. Off.
Yeah,
Florin exactly. Dittman. So you started doing, you went to East LA College. What high school did you go to?
I went to East LA College, and where I did a lot of theater. And that's when I started doing theater, too. I did some theater downtown and all that. And eventually I met up with the guys from Slow Rider through my friends from theater. And I did the band thing for a while.
And touring and shit?
Yeah, we did a few tours. We toured with Ozamali, actually.
Damn.
Just up and down California. That was really cool. And then after I was out of the band, they toured also Mexico, but that was without me. But they did a really great job after still. But they, unfortunately, still ended up breaking up. It was a really good band. But then after that, I just went through a lot of jobs and stuff, trying to figure out what to do. My kid was growing up. I have a kid. She's now 24. And that was about the time she was growing up, so I had to get a real job for a while. So I got a real job, you know, was working really hard. And after I decided not to work anymore, not really not work, but after I decided to go off on my own, I did a lot of graphic design and now photography.
Did you ever work with Self-Help Graphics?
Yeah, Self-Help Graphics.
You were one of the original guys, or you were there when they restarted?
No, I was definitely not one of the original guys. They started in the 70s when I was...
Of course not.
Damn.
Okay, did you start when they were over there on Cesar Chavez?
Chavez, yeah. So I would go and I would volunteer, and we actually played a few events. And I started volunteering, taking photos, and after a while, they started hiring me to take the photos. And eventually they did a print of one of my photos to, you know, one of their famous serigraph prints. So, I've been involved with them for a while now. And I'm still part of they have a Barrio Mobile Artist Mobile. A Barrio Artist Mobile that goes around in different places and does workshops. So I'm still a part of that group. Yeah.
So when you grew up right there in East LA, were you like one of the homies there? How did you avoid being jumped in?
That's a good question. I think I was kind of jumped in a few times, but I never took it seriously. And, I got into a couple of scuffles, but I never took that shit seriously. I used to hang around with guys that were in gangs. And, you walk around and you take off your shirt and, you act like you're hard and shit. But I was never really in a gang. I was far from that, far from being a fucking hard gangster. But, Yeah, I did hang around with a lot of people like that, though. Yeah. And there was a lot of shootings on my block, too, so I had to...
What got you into art, being an artist?
I think, for me, it just naturally happened. Like, I kept trying to get the 40-hour-a-week jobs. I kept trying to do that, and it never worked. Like, fresh out of high school, I got my paralegal certificate, which is really funny. But I worked in law offices for a while, and it just kept... Like, my life kept pushing me away from that. I was not... I just couldn't be in the office that long, you know? So little by little, I did different kinds of arts, which theater and then music, and then eventually ended up just taking pictures, which is, I think, the easiest way to get into art, because I don't have to draw or paint, you know? But you still kind of have to have an eye, and you have to be committed, and you have to love art, and you have to follow it, and you have to appreciate visuals, and you know, and then still shoot from within, you know? So, yeah.
What's your latest thing been working? How did you start off photographing, for people who want to know, besides buy a camera?
How do you start being a photographer?
No, how did you start? Like, what made you get started in photography? How long have you been doing photography?
What was that one picture that you took that started it all?
When I was writing, I'll show it to you in my office right now. But when I was writing for Citizen LA, their photo editor was one of my favorite photographers. And I was writing and decided that I wanted to take my own pictures for my stories, and I got a camera from him. I bought a camera from him, and I sat him down at a bar and talked to him for 2 hours, where I learned the most important thing about photography, which was to keep it in the manual mode, not automatic. So I decided that on January 1st, 2010, I was going to start to shoot every single day, every single day. And that's when I started East Side of Writer. And I started a 365-day blog. So that forced me to shoot every day in manual and learn the controls of the camera and all the buttons, not just point and shoot.
You shot me, too.
Yeah, I shot you, too.
And it wasn't 2010.
Yeah, it was 2010. Yeah, that was the year that I just, like, was shooting every day. Yeah.
That's his commitment,
I still,
man.
I remember when you saw me, you said, "What's up, fool?"
"What's up, fool?" That's his commitment, man, because there's a lot of people who can't do something every single day.
It's hard.
Like me, for the last month, I've been trying to do 10 push-ups every day. It's tough, bro. Because I started off with only. When I first started, I couldn't even do five. No, I couldn't do six. So now I struggle. I did five push-ups.
I'm not gonna lie. I started with like the girl push-ups, you know, on the knees.
Oh.
And then I finally built up. Now it's been. I've lost a few pounds, but yeah, it's hard. At 40, you know?
It is tough, yeah. Man. Like, when I first started doing like the first five push-ups, my arms were vibrating. Like,
am I gonna be able to do another one?
But now, yeah. Man, I could do. I think yesterday I counted 18.
Oh shit, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
but I'm sore today though.
Two more is 20, dog.
Yeah, so you've been doing doing a lot of photography, and have you gotten a lot of good jobs doing it?
Well, I've been lucky. I keep saying that I'm really lucky because I'm...
You're a studio now.
I'm definitely new to, like, the photography world. I mean, 5 years photography is nothing compared to people who have been in it for 20 years and longer, you know. So I still consider myself a newbie, but I've been very lucky where I continually get hired. And I just finished shooting a NPR marketplace thing about Highland Park. So they hired me to go out and shoot that. They did a whole story in Highland Park, gentrification. And they hired me to shoot, you know, mostly business owners and the new people buying the homes. And that's on, this whole week it's coming out one episode per day on NPR. So it's pretty cool. And today they promised to give me a shout out on the air, so we'll see if that happens.
So when you're taking 2 weeks, when you're taking those photos, you're showing the people like gentrification that it happened or the process of gentrification?
Well, the story was written by... You know, these great journalists, and I was just told, here's the name of this person, go shoot them in their home. So I didn't tell the story through my visuals. I just kind of did portraits of them sitting in their home or working in their businesses. But that was the last coolest job that I did. But I did also get to shoot like Chris Brown doing a music video, a couple other rappers that are not so famous yet.
Did you get to slap somebody's ass?
No. I didn't get to slap somebody's ass.
You know what I like to do, man? I always thought, like, you know, when there's a guy doing photography and he's shooting videos like that, and he gets to shoot the girl's butt. Yeah. You know what I like to be? I like to be the guy who's polishing her butt, dude. You know, the guy who's putting lotion on her? I saw this one video, man, of That girl,
the butt shine dude.
That girl, Guerra, something, Guerra.
Vida Guerra.
It's
hot.
Yeah, that girl. Shoot, but man, you hear her talk, she looks better in print. Dude, anyway, so they're taking photos of her body, and there's this little ass paisa fool, like a little ass dude, and all he's doing, bro, is getting lotion and lotioning her ankles, her calves, and then pressing on her butt to make it look shiny. And I'm thinking, man, I know why they hired him, because he don't get a hard on.
Fuck.
For real, you get a hard on? No.
Fired.
Okay, you're hired, sir.
He stapled that shit to his thigh.
What do you call that position? Because it's not fluffer, so.
It's called a
buffer.
No, it's called meat tenderizer. What did you do before this? I used to work with Kobe beef.
I was tenderizing that ass.
So there's so many photographers, Rafa.
A grip.
And they're all on Instagram. And I think being a photographer is a new way to get laid, huh?
No. See my vision.
I don't know.
Like, there's some people like, because I have a daughter. But and one time she told me, yeah, this guy, he wants to fly me out, you know, and take photos that grab me. I said, where at? In Las Vegas? Yeah, you think I should go? Don't go.
Yeah.
He goes, there's a lot of photographers here that will take a photograph right across the street. Where are you going to go to Vegas?
Yeah. But, well, from the beginning, I made sure that I stayed away from like that. You know, like I don't have any boob shots. I don't have any like, you know, like.
Damn.
I don't have any like
butt shots.
Car club girls just, you know, showing their.
You don't have no pictures of girls' breasts with paintings on them.
Nothing like that. Yeah, I don't
all
do like.
Pressed up against a glass, all wet. No.
It's funny, man. Like, you get a lot of people that tell you, hey, Rafa, I heard you bought a camera. Could you take my waiting for
free?
Oh,
yeah, of course. I don't.
Look it up, dog.
Luckily, they don't ask it for free, especially not a wedding. They're like, you know, just let me know what your price is. But I don't really like shooting weddings or quinceañeras or anything like that because it's a fucking big responsibility. You know?
Photographer.
Yeah. But my favorite thing to shoot is just literally just walking down the streets by myself and like just shooting random people in the streets.
That's the best.
Yeah. I get a lot of when you come back and you look at them and you're like, fuck, you know, that's like the rewarding moment when you get something really cool like that. And sometimes if I'm lucky, I get to find the people that I shot. And if one of their prints sells or something, I go back and I give them a cut or I give them a print. Something.
Oh, damn.
And, so that's always, like, also rewarding when they get their print and they're like, oh, my God, this is pretty cool, you know? Yeah.
So, when you do these prints, like, do you have a bunch of photos? Do people, when they fucking tell you, like, the gentrification one, when you're taking those photos of those new businesses, would you think to yourself, man, some poor motherfucker used to live here, got kicked out? You're like taking
a
photo.
Boot, dog.
It's like when you take a gentrification photo, it's like taking a picture of the aftermath, the destruction that followed.
It's all polishy and shiny.
Yeah, they have trees now.
They cleaned away the bloodshed, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And funny, man, about gentrification, I went to go stay at the Bronx one time with a guy because Francis San Pedro knew the guy. So we stood over there, me and this other comedian, and he goes, man, and he was telling us, but I don't know what gentrification was. And he said, man, let me tell you something. I stood at this fucking hotel. It was $100 a night. Now it's the Jack Kerouac room.
Oh, yeah.
They want $500.
God damn.
It was the same fucking room, but now it's called, it wasn't Jack Kerouac. I just said Jack Kerouac. That's all I could think of right now. But it was called something else.
Some writer.
Yeah, man. This is the John Fonte room. Yeah. It's depressing. It comes with a bottle of scotch.
Was that John Fonte?
I'm with the artist, bro. I'm throwing out words here.
Del Piso.
So, bro, what happened, bro? So, man. So how we know Rafa is this, man. This fool had let me tell you one, man. A lot of people in Boyle Heights, man, they try to come in, start rooms. Okay, I got a comedy room. This is that, man. Let me tell you, man. This guy started the first ever comedy night in Boyle Heights. Because there was no fucking comedy. I don't give a fuck who you are with your fucking refrieds. This is the only comedy night. And I know because I grew up in that neighborhood. And that used to be the Cobra Bar. So what was it like, bro, to start? You had your own comedy show. You gave. It's funny, man. Like, I don't know how it is. I know how it is to start a comedy night and everybody's supportive at first, but then this comedian want to get paid.
Down.
And then you got those hawks on the side that want to take over the room.
Moreno. All right. What?
Well, I started the whole thing with the intention of getting artists paid, too. I mean, the comedians paid, because that was always my thing, too. Yeah. Like, if an artist works, they should get paid. So I would at least pay the headliner. And then if they wanted to share some money, they would share some money. And sometimes I would pay some of the second acts, too. But always pay the headliner. But it, you're right. In the beginning, there was a lot of people, and people showed up, and there was free mac and cheese. So we called it nice. Mac and cheese tostos, you know.
And well, I wasn't vegan was, then, so the mac was good.
Yeah, it was fucking good. And but, you know, and then after a while, if you try to charge at the door, people don't come. Like, the audience doesn't come sometimes, you know. And then if you try to... I don't know, but in the end, people just started dying down, and we had a great fucking lineup. It was a great show.
It was a good run.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every week was such a good show. So, yeah, I hopefully I'm crossing my fingers that I could bring it back, but keep it still, like, in the neighborhood and see what we can do. But next year, not.
That neighborhood's changing right there in Boyle Heights, where East Side Love is. Who bought it right now? Eastside Morales.
No, he didn't. That was,
he didn't?
That was a joke.
Rumor?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was a joke.
I told the group of people that came to visit it,
and they were like, hey, Eastside Love. And so then they put his picture up saying, hey, Eastside Morales bought it, called it Eastside Love, which is just fucking funny, right?
That's funny, man. Like 10 people I know who still think it's Eastside Love. I lied to you guys, man.
Sorry, man.
Started another rumor.
Take that back.
Guillermo still owns it.
Guillermo?
Yeah, Guillermo.
Did his dad used to own it before him?
No, he bought it. He bought it and changed it. Had to make a lot of changes to it. So, yeah.
They have crazy-ass events over there. They have, like, Juan Gabriel night. And everybody does, all they do is karaoke Juan Gabriel songs.
Juan Gaoki, Selena Oki.
Damn.
It started with Morrissey Oki. And Morrissey Oki is, like, one of the biggest things in L.A. now. They do it every Thursday night.
Los Angeles, dude.
I don't know. I fucking hate Morrissey. But I'm one of the Chicanos that hates Morrissey. But
there's always one.
Because of that, they started all these other Okis and... They're really popular. It's a popular event.
So what's up, man? So, man, you used to party before? Were you a party animal before? A stoner?
I have...
Oh, I took a little sniff. I don't want to say shit. I don't really like it.
I got a drip, dog.
well, you got some more.
I stopped drinking and became vegan 3 years ago, but I stopped being vegan already, but I still haven't drank. So, actually, this December, at the end of this year, is 3 years of not drinking.
Congratulations, bro. I think I have five, but I still smoke.
Do they give you tokens when you do it by yourself? You don't get one.
No, you didn't get none, bro. We'll make you one, eh? It's funny, man. Like, when I was going to the program, I used to go to Narcotics Anonymous.
Wow, N.A.
When I came out of rehab, and man, I couldn't make it every Friday, so I made myself in charge of the coffee at the N.A. meeting at White Memorial.
You had to be there.
I had to be there. So me and this little ass white chola, plus I want to talk to her too. This little one, white chola from Venice, she was in charge of the coffee, her and her old man, but then he fell off the wagon and he got locked up again. So I told her I'd be nice. I'll do it, eh? That was the last time I saw her ass. So then I was in charge of it. And then you know how crazy it got? That I don't want to do the coffee no more and I don't want to go no more. I will send my two little brothers to bring the coffee.
What?
And I wouldn't even be at the meeting.
No, not even to hear the things. Coffee,
hell
right,
no,
Felipe.
Man.
That's funny, dude.
It's you meet crazy people, man. Like, you were like being at an AA meeting. It was, man, I didn't kill my whole family.
Dude, I remember doing shows at AA meetings, and you look at some of those people in there and go, fuck, dude, this motherfucker's ready to snap or creep. He doesn't want to be there, Tug.
I went to a few AAs. But I always hated it because it felt like church to me.
Like the whole ritual, the whole process.
A lot of preaching and a lot of, you know.
This is what I did. This is what you got to do.
Yeah.
A lot of cross-talking.
Exactly, yeah.
Like they look at you like this. They look at you, but they're talking about Rodrigo. Yeah, man, so... For real, like, don't say something that you said. Like, just say you said puppies.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging out over here, unlike puppies over there. And I was in this crazy meeting, man, when I was in rehab. And then... some guy said, this some cholo was on PCP from Pacoima. He goes, I felt like I was in a Twilight Zone, Holmes. Then this fucking veteran get up, fuck this Twilight Zone guy. And he got up, he left.
What the fuck? Damn.
That's
all it took.
So you were a heavy alcoholic.
I was a heavy drinker, yeah. I drank
used to
all
party.
Of
that.
I started drinking.
House party. Yeah, this guy right here.
Exactly. I started drinking in middle school because that's when my parents both had jobs. And so they were both gone pretty much most of the day. And we used to have a lot of parties at the house. You know?
So there was alcohol already in your house? You'd have to go look for it?
No, we always. We were able to get it. Back in the days, I don't know if in your hood, but in my hood, you could go to the store and buy it.
Yeah, we could buy it.
It didn't matter how old you were.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, you could just buy beer all the time.
My fiance says that when she was little, that her dad would just give her a napkin and write down, please sell my daughter a pack of Marlboros. And she would take the paper and give it to the liquor store owner. Since this paper from your father, I know your father. And she would sell her cigarettes.
Will do, like Mr. O'Daniel.
Exactly. Yeah, they just wanted the money. Yeah.
So we used to buy beer at a place called Murillo's, right there by Pecan Park. Murillo's, he would sell 40s to anybody. As long as you had the full amount. So I would go over there, give me an 8-ball more liquor, you and Mickey's, and his wife would bring you breastfeeding and shit. Young kid, still going through puberty, drinking 40s. So that how you did it?
Yeah, pretty much. We had one guy in City Terrace. He would sell out of like a little metal door after hours. This is even after 2 in the morning.
$10 six.
Yeah, he had a little metal door that would open, and you would ask for whatever you wanted. He'd bring it to you, but you could always tell he was packing a gun. Like, he was always packing a gun right behind that little window.
This is the house?
This was at a bar. I mean, at a liquor store.
Oh, but after hours?
After hours. He would still sell shit.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
There was a lot of that in my neighborhood, too.
Yeah. Gotta keep the party going.
Parties were fucking crazy back in the day. I don't know if they still do it, but... You
used to be a party animal?
A little bit.
You used to go fuck with cebolla and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anybody that drank in those years,
you
ended
know
up
cebolla.
At Cebolla's house party.
That's fucked
What's up with Cebolla?
That was some
it's
fucked up
it's
shit.
Fucked up shit, bro. Cebolla was this fucking Asian lady who... that everybody used to go fuck with. She'll go to your porch. Like, if you stand on her driveway, she'd get so paranoid that she would run outside with a broom and go, get out! Get out! And chase you with a broom, bro. And fuck you up. She jumped on the... She'll jump
smack
on a car.
Smack you with it,
yeah.
Shit? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here?
So yeah. They call her Cebolla.
I don't even know why that name came about, but... Do you remember the scenes in, like, Boys in the Hood when there's, like, a bunch of cars and people partying? Well, that was those years when people used to, even around here.
Cruising?
At the winery and over here. And, I mean, on this side of town down here. Yeah, cruising, like, massive cruising. And so people would go from spot to spot, and that was one of the spots.
It's weird. Like, it's in the neighborhood.
That's when they stop U-turns.
Dude, it's in the
exactly.
But her house was, it's on Soto. You gotta go there, like, once on 4th and Soto, and then there's a one street, and you make a right, and her house was like the third house off in the
middle of the neighborhood.
There's no traffic there. It's a residential area.
Yeah.
People will make a right, and there'd be a line
to go back.
Fuck you, say, oh yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a line of cruisers, kind of like the line to go see the lights at Griffith Park, you know. But it'd be like people just to
dude. Who that?
It was horrible.
It just right now. That shit flabbergasted me, bro. That we used to do that shit. Cause it's insane. It's fucking insane. Like,
it's mind-boggling.
Like, mind-boggling. Like, right now, man, every Friday night, there's young kids right now who are going to go on Instagram, who are going to go on Twitter and talk about their good times. Let me tell you, man, if fucking Cebolla was alive right now, she'll be trending right now.
She would be trending hashtag BH.
Remember that shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Cebolla, bro.
That was something else.
Damn,
dude, it was an Asian lady. You just go over there and just park on the side of the porch. And then she'll... Dude, this is how crazy she got. They used to put her name on the flyers.
Yeah. Like Matt Point at Cebolla's house.
That's where it starts from or whatever?
Like, yeah. Like, if you, how do you get to that party? You start up at Cebolla's house. And then you fucking make a right and you go to the wineries.
Yeah. Are you guys driving that lady crazy and shit?
People drove around all the time. People just, you'd meet at different places. Like, literally right here up the street was one of the places that would line up on both sides of the street. And the cops let it happen because it was away from, like, you know, regular streets. Over here it's all industrial. So there used to be huge, huge, like, just groups of partiers. And it was fucking intense.
It was crazy, bro. Yeah. Teddy Boys, what?
I don't remember Teddy Boys, but all those DJ names from back in the days, right?
Teddy Boy was a big promoter. That's where I first saw these motherfuckers. My brother Angel was a party animal, man. I thought he was cute.
was a promoter?
No,
a promoter?
My brother was Angel Esparza.
Oh, shit.
And my brother, well, he went to Roosevelt. He graduated from high school in 88. Yeah. Yes, he's a veterano right now. But that fool used to be clubbing, dog. That fool used to
hard?
Put hard, dog. This is how hard. And then he thought he was good looking, bro.
Everybody did.
But this fool, even the fat fools, though.
Yeah, everybody just walked around like they were.
Dude, my brother, but it was the 90s. My brother used to put on like a white V-neck, a white turtleneck, a white turtleneck with a black trench coat. He said, "I look like a prince, huh?" He'll stand by the mirror and go, "I look Sicilian, huh?"
What the fuck?
Look, it's an East Los comment page, and somebody wrote a comment. I don't have my glasses.
Oh shit.
Brother, read it.
Yeah, dude, did that fool walk around with a little bird dog, a dove, or what, dude?
So here we go, bro. Right here, Ruck. Somebody wrote a reply. Cebolla, leave a reply. The story of Cebolla. Some call it in East Los Angeles a legend, but
it's one of those.
But it's one of those that keeps on going and changing as it passes from one person to another, from one generation to the next. The story goes like this. A long time ago in East Los Angeles lived this woman in a huge Victorian home, windows covered with newspaper and fence covered in with oil. Yeah, that's right, a fence covered in oil for people. People get fucked up. And that's, I can't even have my glasses. So you read the rest, bro, right there, bro. Read right there, right there. Cebolla, read the Cebolla right there. Where I left off.
The story goes like this. A long time ago in East Los lived this woman in this huge Victorian home, windows covered with newspapers and fence covered in oil. That's right, car oil. She didn't get out much. Sometimes she would go outside, sit on her patch of grass by the sidewalk, and cut the grass with scissors.
For reals.
My mom used to do that too, though.
I'm going to give it a trim.
The only other time she was ever seen was when neighborhood kids, me included, would go to her house and play Ding Dong Ditch. Yep. It all started with us just hanging around, doing what boys do, talking about girls, sports, and games. In the middle of one of these conversations, one of us would come up with a story like this. Did you guys hear that a kid selling chocolates went to Cebolla's house and never made it back home? Yeah, that got us all freaked out, pumped us up, and scared, but with a huge jolt of energy to knock on her door and then run. We would all challenge one another. You're not down. You're not down.
You're not down, eh?
But down we were.
Crazy,
that's
huh?
Fucking crazy. Yeah.
Cebolla, people.
Trippy, though.
Her last shout out.
That was some fucking old school shit right there. What was that? Like late?
Early 80s.
Yeah, mid to late 80s, but I, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a long
time. She was a legend. And I remember, like, there used to be another guy that used to promote in parties, some crazy guy, Chucky, or I forgot his name, man.
I was still really young when all that was happening. I was, like, middle school to high school. So I wasn't, like, with the promoter crews yet or nothing like that. But, yeah, that was fucking...
Took your bag with
somebody. Yeah, but I, you know what? Did you wear a black hooded sweater with pink and purple letters of, like, the name of your crew or something?
Hell yeah, bro. I'm gonna tell you, man. I'm embarrassed to say this. When I was in high school, at junior high, I thought I was going to be a rapper for like a month.
Oh, yeah. Who's the guy from TMC that used to rap?
I want to be a rapper, dog.
That was you? Yeah. Oh, that was the next guy. You used to rap with TMC too?
Yeah, I was from TMC, but I used to, like, I was like, I couldn't rap. They realized I couldn't rap. Yeah. I couldn't break dance. So they made me in charge of stealing white gloves from Sears.
There was another rapper though.
But whatever, nah, fool.
When you thought you were gonna be a rapper,
dude. I told people I'm a rapper. I didn't even fucking battle nobody, dog. I just wrote lyrics. I won book, and my ex girlfriend at the time, she was like my first girlfriend. She was all smart and shit.
Like, oh, these look like.
She gave me a T-shirt in front of my friends, and the T-shirt said "Kid MC."
Oh shit!
That's your name, pops.
She gave you a rapper name?
The Kid, everybody. Oh, my the God. Kid.
I'm about to faint right now, dog.
I'm embarrassed.
I'm about to faint right now, dude. I looked at my fucking yearbook from high school the other day, and I read one of the digs, and some homie wrote, "Hey, to Mr. Run DMC himself."
That's
fucking
dog.
Awesome. That's pretty awesome, though, dude.
You should see that shirt, though.
You're fucking
that shirt had a white collar, and then she wrote "Kid MC" like an employee on the side. Oh, Oh my God.
She was proud of you, dog.
She was my first believer.
Did you have the hat with the name on the side?
Yeah, because I used to hang around with a fool man who's a real rapper. He was from before it was MC4s. He was from MC4s named Deco. I don't know, you know Deco. Deco. Javier Acosta. Yeah, bro. Yeah,
he used to rap too.
His homeboy Miguel ended up marrying the daughter of the guy who owns Casa Prieto.
Okay.
So that was Miguel. So Javier from before MC4s, he used to fucking do a lot of graffiti, bro.
Yeah,
and I used to always hang out with him, bro, like trying to be a cheerleader and shit, trying to get one microphone. So no, I used to stand next to him. He said, "Hey, man, what's up, Javier? Can I get a little marker, bro?" I used to ask Javier, right, Deco, can I get a marker, Holmes, or what?
Put my little name on there.
That fool was cool, bro. He used to show up to school, bro, with a jacket. His fucking, the bag was all bomb, bro.
Airbrush, yeah.
That's when they call it bombing. And I said, badass. Man, that fool has some badass spray paints over the back. Yeah, man. So, Kid MC, bro. That's what I mean, bro.
Rhyme, bro.
I had no rhymes, bro. I can't even think of one. And if it was, I probably bid it for somebody. Cause no, bro. Cause I used to stay up late and listen to Uncle Jam's Army on KDY.
Yeah.
So I used to write this song. I go, I got a locker full of rhymes and I know them well. And then no, I don't know the rest. There's something other thing, but they're not for sale. That's all I had. But they have no locker full of rhymes. Yeah, man.
I used to wear the Run DMC glasses, but without lenses. Just fucking that crazy.
Oh, the gazelles.
No, not the gazelles. Gazelle like the DMC ones.
Shit, man.
The square nerdy glasses, I guess.
So what's up, fool? You're here in your loft, your studio here with your partners. Who you got here?
This is Ernesto Llerena.
How'd you meet him, bro? Introduce him to us.
All right, let's bring in Ernesto Llerena.
What you doing next, so people can know?
What am I doing next?
Going to Cebolla's house.
It's Christmas time.
Doing a photo shoot at Cebolla's house.
Trying to figure out how to buy gifts. That's it. I don't have anything planned right now. Like I do have things planned for next year. I'm releasing a book because at the end of this year, it's 5 years that I've been doing this. So I'm releasing a five years of photography book. And then next year, I have a couple of projects. I'm going to try to go out of LA a lot. So I'm going to have a whole page on my website called Out of LA. So
roading it.
Yeah, roading it. At least once a month, I'm going to try to go somewhere different and get some pictures on the road. Yeah. And a ver qué más. Yeah. Ernesto just disappeared. But
he's shy, bro. Rafa.LA, people.
Rafa.LA.
Fuck it.
Hell yeah.
And this is Mr. Juan Garcia over
Juan
here.
Garcia from?
Photographer as well.
What up, Juan?
Facing the crowd.
A.K.A. Faces, a.k.a. Badass.
Yeah, man, he took our photos at his house, me and Lunel.
Oh, yeah. Lunel, yeah. She's awesome.
So what's up, fool? Matthew, we should do a photo shoot, bro, of Samuel's house.
Oh, that's right. I don't know if she still lives there. I don't think she lives there, but we could still
shoot. The house is still there?
You and I should take a photo like this and then fucking take a photo of him, put her next to us. I think I know where the house is.
I know exactly where it is. My friend lives on that block.
Dog.
Yeah, she's
my
dead,
friend still lives on that block. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, but the houses on that block are still scary. Like, they're creepy. They're all Victorians.
The legend lives. The legend. That should be a movie, bro. La Cebolla Killers.
La Cebolla Te Hace Llorar.
Starring Kid MC.
And it's funny how people start bullshit like a kid knocked on her door and never came back. Come on.
I wrote a whole list of raps, bro. They all sucked. And she just read it one time, and then she got me a T-shirt and said, "Kid MC." Then every time my friend Jose Lopez and Rafa would call me, I'd get pissed, eh?
Oh, Rafa Moran?
Yeah, Rafa. You know him?
I forgot to tell you. Actually, let me bring this up real quick. The first time that I saw you was in their garage practicing because my cousin was a guitar player.
Oh, yeah?
My cousin was a guitar player in Saddletramp, their band. And one time in their garage over there by Garfield, Rafa's like, "Hey, I have a friend. He wants to do some jokes. Do you guys mind?" We're like, "Yeah, go for it." And that was huge.
Yeah, at a house party, right?
Yeah. No, it was in the garage. Okay. Just like they were practicing. It wasn't even like we were all partying, but yeah. It was. That was fucking... I remember you did a lot of jokes about welfare.
Yeah.
I remember that shit. And I remember that you were really funny. So when I saw you again at Coyotes or whatever it was in Alhambra. I mean, in Montebello.
Montebello.
I was like, dude, I saw you in a garage years ago. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fucking Ralph.
Yeah, man, that was old school, dude. And it's funny, man, I don't know who the drummer was back then.
Bobby.
Does he live on Record Street over there by you guys, right? City Terrace 2?
No, not that Bobby. No.
Oh, because I remember Rafa when he started off the band, and I was still living in the hood. And I remember these crackheads came up to me, and they broke into the lofts over there in the factories, and they stole a whole band up. Equipment.
Oh, shit.
And the guy had the whole drum set, the whole thing. And then this crackhead said, I told him, like, I felt like I could have been on Pawn Stars. He goes, man, I want $400 for these drums. Man, I'm going to give you $60. All right.
What is worth?
I felt like the old man from Pawn Stars. I'm going to give you $60. And you're going to take it and be happy. So I took their $60, and then I told Rafa, I called up Rafa, hey, bro, your fucking drummer still needs drums? So tell him, bro, give him the whole drum set for $250. So then I sold it, bro. Come up, baby.
Guitar center over here, dog.
That's how I am, bro. I could sell art equipment, too.
Give me that pencil.
So what's up, fool? We're right here, man, with Face Value Project, bro. Yeah. How they going, man? Give him a little shout out here, bro. Give everybody a shout out.
I photographed over 400 people now and doing... the editing phase, that shit takes a long time, cause each person I photograph is like 3-4 hours of work, so multiply that times 400 and there you go.
So when did you start this project?
Around 2010, and I was sponsored by the state of California through unemployment insurance.
The EDD?
Yeah, exactly. So I got fired for being a big mouth at work and took the opportunity to work on some of my own shit and basically spent 8 months straight working on this. And that's how I got to 400 people. But I have a job now, so I need some more sponsorship.
So you're gonna continue doing the faces, or you're done?
The goal is 500.
Okay.
So I got 100 people left, but I'm just trying to figure it out right now.
Did you shoot Emilio Rivera already?
No.
Okay, we'll get him. How about Joey Coco Diaz?
Joey Diaz, no, but I have photographed him before, Carlos Oscar. I photographed tons of comedians for Nuevo TV and CTV.
So where are you from originally?
Long Beach, California.
Long Beach, the LBC, the Pike.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I grew up, there was no Pike, just
an empty lot, huh?
Yeah, empty shit and tons of gangs.
And now the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, the Laugh Factory's out there, Performing Arts Center. And
besides the Faith Value Project, what else are you working on right now?
Right now, my main thing is movie posters. Designing and photographing tons of movie posters right now, indie films. I had this little stint earlier, or about a year ago, where I designed for Spike Lee's film, and they stole it from me, and now we're in a lawsuit.
And damn, who stole it, bro?
40 acres and a poster.
Yeah. It was this whole thing. Like, the agency stole it from me and gave it to Spike, and Spike ended up using it. And I told Spike, like, hey, the agency jacked me. And I made this whole thing on the internet, and pretty much Spike didn't reply, so how to get lawyers involved in here.
He said, welcome to Hollywood, young brother.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's how Hollywood is, man. One time this guy said, he asked some guy, some young kid, I think it was Josh's brother. Remember Josh? Brother Josh?
Yeah, the little one, the young
one.
Yeah,
then his brother was trying to get into acting. He said, how do you get a movie or a television show on TV? That's how you do it, brother. You come with a great idea. You tell it to somebody, he tells somebody else, they make $1 million, and you're left in a code.
That sounds about right. They're ruthless, man. They don't give a fuck about artists.
They don't, huh?
They don't. They don't give a shit.
You know, do you guys feel the same way? I don't know. As an artist, do you guys feel the same way when a fucking actor, he starts doing other shit besides acting? This motherfucker's doing sculptures now? What the fuck? They're paying money for fucking his fucking sculptures? He's not even a fucking good actor. Like, I don't know, it's funny, dude, because I know it pisses me off, man, when a guy's been acting his whole life and now this motherfucker doing stand up now? What the fuck? Leave me alone! Stick with a career, man!
Yeah.
That could have fucked with you too, right?
Yeah. He's expressing himself.
You got to strike while the iron's hot, you know? Cause
yeah, man. All of a sudden, some of Hayek's brothers doing furniture. He does, though, right?
Don't they have a coffee shop or something?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I think Salma Hayek's brother, she does artsy furniture. Like, how much for that chair? $5,000. How much is it if it doesn't have Hayek behind it? just a chair. IKEA.
That ugly-ass chair right there in the corner.
But she sat in it once.
So yeah.
She got pregnant in this
chair. So you started doing art in college? You went to school for it? Or you said, fuck this?
Yeah, I was watching I Love Lucy or... Price is Right, some shit when I had nothing to do. And there was this commercial. It went, do you want to be a graphic designer artist? Pew, pew, pew. And all these cool graphics. So I called the phone number. And they were like, come right in. And $80,000 later,
I
should have went to Everett College.
Dude, I should have went to fucking YouTube tutorials. I would have learned the same goddamn thing.
You should have went to DeVry. Wow, $80,000 later, your dad looked at you and said, cabrón, ni sabes pintar.
Exactly, he's like...
¿Para hacer posters?
No mames, cabrón.
Parents don't get it, man. If your parents are not into art, they don't understand, man. No. Like, my father does not understand when I started doing a... ¿Eres comediante, cabrón?
Trabajo en un banco. Haz un trabajo bueno.
Like, when I started being a comedian... My first ever show, I don't know, I told my dad I started doing acting or comedy stuff. My dad, first thing he said was, you know what? He said in Spanish. It sounds different in English, but it's in Spanish he said, you know what? If you never left that job at UPS, you'd have been driving right now. You'd been wearing, no, he said, you would have been wearing brown shorts.
And brown socks.
And brown socks, cabrón. Podría ser ingeniero.
That could have been you.
That could have been you over there. With that box instead of delivering weed everywhere.
There's this clip on YouTube of Novela, and the son goes up to his parents. He's like, yo quiero ser diseñador o artista or something. And it turns into this whole dramatic scene of how he's ruining his life and shit. It's fucking hilarious.
They don't see the value in that. They think just like, you know, having a job is better than actually pursuing a dream of creative endeavor. Because I think our culture is more like, oh, if your dad and your mom ain't actresses, don't get in the business, dude. It's all like, you know, born into it opposed to like, you can be that shit.
What is this, India? I'm going to be a dish digger?
Our own caste system, man.
Oh, yeah. Like when we spoke to Emilio Rivera on a podcast, and he said as a little kid, he was watching, what was he watching?
He was in that play, he got cast as Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, he was cast as Rumpelstiltskin, and he had a stuttering problem. So when he told his father, I got a Rumpelstiltskin, I want to be an actor. Cabrón, shut the fuck up. That's only for fucking rich white people. And killed his dream right there.
Yeah.
I mean, what if he would have told him, you know, cabrón? You could do it, eh?
I see you being the next Brando.
To be or not to be. But then, when you look at the way Hollywood is, the way he made it look bad, like, when you watch the little, I remember watching the little cartoon, and the little chicken, she wants to be a movie star, and then she goes to be a movie star, and then, like, they fuck it, like, I guess all shit goes bad, and...
It always ends up like, wah, 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 wah.
And then she's back in a train going back home.
All sad.
It sucks when you're an artist and you live in California because you have nowhere to go, man. You're stuck here. you're stuck here.
You didn't get imported from anywhere
every
else.
Every day you're going to see your friend. Cabrón, you're still an artist? Yeah.
But think about it. Being from this area and fools come here to be artists. Dick, you're already born one.
Yeah, and then like you go.
You think
like,
about
like,
it in that
even,
sense.
Even as a comedian, man, I go to my neighborhood. I remember that fool telling jokes with piss on his body, bro.
With that Kid MC shirt.
All right, man. Enough of that. I wish I could find that t-shirt, bro.
Oh my god, I think you gotta make one, dog. Rep it.
It was funny because she abbreviated MC too, bro. There was M and a dot and then C. And then her name was Kid.
Nothing but class.
Never battled once.
But I will give credit to my dad. I went up to him like, Dad, I want to be a photographer. And he's like, fuck. Well, it's better than nothing.
Fucked up.
He did take me to the college and signed for the fucking loans. So it helped me out. He passed away this year. Now I don't have to pay him back, motherfucker.
Yeah. All is forgotten.
Only the ones under his name. The ones under my name.
Hey, cold as hell, dog.
I love my dad more than anything. I miss him a lot. But if I would have never gone to college, I would have never met tons of people like Ernesto. He's like the brother I never had. So $80,000 for this fucker, I don't know if it's worth it, but
that's what's up. You can't buy that shit, dog.
You can, bro. So what's up, man? We got Ernesto Llerena here, too. Our third Chicano artist. You guys like that, Chicano artist or just artist?
It's cool. I dig it.
Some comedians don't like to be called Latino comedians. Me, I accept
I'm universal.
It. I'm universal, man. I'm not just Latino, by the way. I'm also a comedian.
I'm a human being as well.
Yeah, that's man.
Funny.
Also gangbang on the side.
Yeah,
Fida. Yeah. Mess up the brillantina over here.
Bien peinadito, güey. Picture day.
If we're wearing Jockey Club. Hey, bro, we're not going to film this.
No, if I hear myself, then I can't. Then I feel like I can't.
That's how Rodrigo feels about his voice. Who is this guy? Out of breath.
That wasn't me, dog.
So, well, Ernesto Llerena, bro, this is the guy who did the What's Up Food podcast poster, the one that everybody's buying right now. We can't get rid of him. I mean, we are getting rid of him.
Dick. Yeah, I can't get rid of my poster. I know the feeling, man.
I know, but you got a lot of pencils, bro.
So where are you from, big dog?
So I'm from El Centro, California. You guys were just
there. Yeah, we were just there, dude.
Dusty.
Those motherfuckers know how to party, bro. For real, man. I open up the show. They motherfuckers know how to party, dog. Like, I open up the show like this. Welcome to Hauteville, California, the Mexican Palm Springs.
The Barbara Ward Casino.
Barbara Ward Casino.
That's like the nicest died, building in the valley, man.
Damn.
Dog.
I wouldn't have known.
Like, so, welcome to the big city, bro.
Hell yeah. Bienvenido, güey.
Bienvenido, bro. Take a look around. Eh? You can see houses forever. Dude, when we stood there, man, I didn't know that we were stuck in a fucking time zone, bro. Like, once we got there, we didn't get no food, bro. And everything is the nearest place that the nearest 7-Eleven is 45 minutes away. And now we were like, what the fuck? And this fool was all angry. Hungry, bro.
You got to find Circle K's. That's what we have.
No, there was nothing, bro, man.
Old ass empanadas, dog.
Like, when we were in El Centro, I'm going to say El Centro all ghetto, but goddamn, man. In Indian Hill, whatever the name of that street is.
It goes on forever.
El Indio Street, Indio Avenue. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
Imperial Avenue.
Imperial Avenue.
From Broadly all the way through to Galaxy.
We're at the 7-Eleven there, man, just buying blunts and Oreos. And
Nutter Butters.
And let me tell you, man, I have never seen more 40-year-olds in Huffies in my life. I mean, there was. I never seen people right here in East LA, the hood. You know, people are bike riding; they're on fixies. But goddamn, I saw five dudes showed up, and they were off over 40 on Huffies, bro, just to buy 140. And some of them just stood there to panhandle
with worn out ass grips.
So I'm glad you got out of there, bro, because that's not for you, bro. So what brings you out here, bro? What made you come to LA? Get it closer right here like this.
It's a crazy story, actually, but it kind of has the same, like Juan was saying, we both went to this school that we never mentioned the name because we hate it, but maybe if we're talking shit right now, maybe I should mention the name, you know? But it was when I was living in El Centro.
Did you guys fall for that? Can you draw this pirate on a TV guide?
Nah. I remember those commercials.
Art lessons.
If you can draw this turtle, you can come. No.
That's like Isai Morales in La Bamba. Congratulations. I got art lessons.
Jim Woody Woodpecker, eh?
No, it was... that's hilarious. But it was... when I was in high school, and I used to have really good grades up to, like, 11th grade. Like, I used to my junior year.
That's when I found pussy.
I was really, not even. I was
rock and roll.
I was, like, a nerdy kid, but I got really politicized. And then I was, like, looking around at class, and I'm like, fuck school. Like, this shit it's bullshit. Like, I was angry at the history that they were teaching me at school. It never, like, involved brown people. I never talked about it. So I was like, fuck this. And I let it go. And I was already kind of getting into this. In junior year, I had high grades. I was in AP classes and all that. And I was already kind of... I forgot what... There was a program where if you do really well your whole school career, like, Cal Poly Pomona would accept me early on into their... Into
a bridge
program, yeah. And I was in that, and then I just, like, fucked it all up, like, on purpose. And my dad was just kind of like, what the hell, dude? And it's a weird story. I used to have a culinary class in high school. This teacher named Mr. Neves. And I've always been into cooking. Like cooking was like my first passion. I always making art and cooking food. And
was you guys eating?
Yeah, both, man. Same here. And so I was always in his class, and I was always drawing. And my teacher comes up to me one day.
Draw tits. Like,
I would draw just whatever, like scribbling, like lame shit. And he was, he's like, hey man, he's like, I know you, you're always drawing, and you're always drawing on my class. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry about that. He's like, no, it's all good. He's like, but maybe you should look into to being an artist. And I'm like, well, I wanted to go to culinary school. He's like, well, I see you like to draw more than you wanna cook. And he's like, my cousin, he's like, he's a stoner. And he thought, I never even smoked at this point, but the teacher thought I was like a stoner just because I was I had a shaved head, like Mexican kid. And he's like, my cousin who's a stoner lives in Hawaii, and he used to draw on t-shirts, and his name's Sean Stussy, and now Stussy, the company, yes, blew up and all this. And he's like, why don't you do art? And so he's like, I'm going to send these schools your info. So he sent like AI and like, you know, Johnson and Wales and like a bunch of other different schools, like all that DeVry bullshit. He sent them my info. And when I graduated school, it was like a week after, my dad's like, he's like, well, you're a waste of intelligence. He's like, you could have gone to all these schools and you didn't give a fuck. He's like, you're not going to live here for free. You got to get a job like ASAP. And it doesn't matter. And I was like, dude, what am I going to do? He's like, you either go to school or get a job. And I had no idea what I was going to do. So I get a call like an hour later after he's just kind of like talk shit to me for an hour. And it's like, this is Art Institute. Do you want to check out the culinary program? I'm like, hell yeah, dude. Like, let's go tomorrow. And I set up an appointment. My dad's real supportive. They've always been supportive, even the arts or wherever. But my mentality at that point was like, I'm just going to go check out the school. And I need to get away from this dude because my dad's on my ass every day and my mom, too, talking shit. And so...
You got a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't me drawing monos.
I went on a Thursday, right? We went and I was like, yeah, I dig this shit. I didn't even walk around the school. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. Let's do this. And my dad's like, you know, we're signing like a big-ass loan for you. He's like, no, that's up inside of my ass. I'm like, no, let's do this shit. Like, I'm in. And my mentality wasn't like, I'm going to kick ass at school. I'm going to do the best. It was just like, I need to get away from this fool. You know, he's on my ass all the time. And so he signed. He's like, all right, you want to do this shit? Let's do it. He signed, and that was a Thursday. The next, like, 4 or 5 days later, on a Tuesday, I started school, and I moved out, and I was 17. And then, you know, I had, like, a kind of a beef with my school. Like, they busted some racist shit. They tried to say that I stole an iPod, and I didn't. And they were trying to get rid of me at school. And so I finally got out of it, and I got them to admit that I didn't do it. But since they kind of kicked me out for a couple of weeks of school, I was suing the school for discrimination. And my mom was like, we don't sue people, we're Mexicans.
I've heard that one
and
before.
Like, and we don't want you getting all bitter. He's like,
no quiero líos, mijo.
Yeah, exactly. So they made me come and check out the school in LA. And I didn't like it. Like, I came to check out the school in LA, but when I was there, I saw a flyer that said that Shepherd Fairey from Obey was going to be speaking the next day. And I picked it up, and I was like, yeah, I want to go to this. And my mom's like, well, you know, you got to come back on your own. So she bought me and another ticket to bring a friend. Went back to San Diego, drove back over the next day. And then I met Shepherd, showed her my work, and I got an internship. But the funny thing about that was that flyer, it was Juan actually had made that flyer because he was working for the company that put together that talk. You know? And that's how we became friends over that. But just a crazy, crazy story, you know.
So you were with that dude from Obey?
Yeah, Shep.
Right away?
Yeah, I moved up here, started interning with him, and it was just, I mean, I was 18, I think. I was really young and big fan of his work, and going just started working with him right away. It was crazy because he was the kind of dude that the more that avientas too, like the more you jump at things, he would let you like get more experience.
So it was you who did the Obama, not him.
Nah. I wasn't down with that at first, you know, because
You came in after?
No, I was around there, yeah. But my friend Phil was assisting in on that one. He did that one, I think, that one he did was because his daughter, one of his daughters was being born, I think his second one, and he did that while at the hospital waiting for his daughter to be born. He did it in, like, the waiting room, which is crazy, you know? Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of this stuff for yourself?
Yeah, of course. These two are collaborations with the We Are Human posters, the Immigration Reform Now posters from 2009. Those were a collab with me and Shepard, Zach La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine, and Marco Amador from what's his Espacio en Radio.
Is that Luis de Alba right there?
No, maybe. Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was.
It was just some dude yelling at the
que no, era penal.
Going like this. the goalie? I mean, the coach?
Yeah. So then you got involved with Red Bull? You got
Yeah, yeah.
They said they saw your work. A lot of people copy this, but you're the OG, huh?
Which one of the Skull?
No, yeah, the Skull.
No, I mean, a lot of this stuff, I learned it from Shep. I mean, I would say the original people that came up with the style is definitely coming from like the Soviet political posters.
Propaganda
then,
stuff.
Yeah, oh, that's why it looks familiar.
And then the Chicano posters in the 60s, you know.
And all the red stuff, huh?
Yeah, Malaquias Montoya, and then Rupert Garcia, Barbara Carrasco.
How did Red Bull find you for your stuff?
This is another funny story. There is
your dad's a cabrón.
Nah, nah.
Levanta botes.
Pinche rusos.
That was pretty. Nah. It was there was a little. It was called like the Canvas Cooler Project, and it was they get a little Red Bull cooler and you paint on it, and it's a contest. And I was in it like, I mean, it was like 2-4 years ago. And one of the Red Bull dudes, it was funny because I want to go show this. I was really broke. I drove here from Arizona. I was living in Phoenix at the time. And I showed up to the Red Bull thing and I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it back. So I brought posters to sell. And I was like, maybe I can sell posters. And so,
like a soldier.
Yeah, and I tried to. Well, this is the funny story. So the guy from Red Bull was like, hey, you got any posters? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to sell some posters. And I opened the trunk and I had them in my trunk. And he's like, and he grabs two of them and he just grabs them. He's like, all right, dude, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And I was like, I was going to sell them. And then like the hustle kicked in. I'm like, I could either take him back. Or, like, I hope that, because he worked for Red Bull, yeah. Or I hope that, like, he has it on my wall and it just marinates. Like, he'll have it there for, like, he'll see it every day. And then all of a sudden, when he needs a project, he's going to think of me because it's on his wall. And sure enough, that's what happened. Like, 4 years later, the same dude hit me up and then they hired me to do the can. So it worked out.
Damn, you don't hear too many art stories like that, huh?
Shit, blowing it up, dog.
Normally you hear like Kramer, bro. They stole my fucking cologne. They stole my beach perfume.
Never do they come back and hire you.
Huh? I could have been a fragrance. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Juan over here said, I could have been a fragrance millionaire. CK1, there was CK1, yeah.
That's
the beach.
That was a funny,
completely
funny
sand of the beach.
So he remembered you from 4 years ago, man. Awesome.
Stay right on the mic.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Right here. So, man, so what else you got going next, bro? All three of you guys live here together, or with another guy?
Nah, I mean, this is it's a studio. There's like six, what is it, like five people?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is Jaime Guerrero's kind of studio. He's a glass sculptor. And then there's like a, what's it?
She does vegan foods.
Oh, yeah.
Joy Anderson and I forgot how she calls her company, but they do vegan foods and snacks. And we have Rashid, who does painting, and Fredo, who does glass blowing. So,
but he makes bongs on the side.
Yeah, he does.
Give me a killer pipe, a killer piece.
He's glass blowing, but he makes bongs on the side.
And as far as your art, where's it coming? It's, you know, part political, but does it come from the soul? Where do you get your images to portray and put out there?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier where you were talking with Juan about when you guys were saying about how our parents really not always support our political, our careers or our dreams, you know, and part of me that, like, I come from El Centro, you guys know how it's bombed out. Like, when I was a kid, my dad was selling paint at a store, and he was making, like, $2.50 an hour, and, like, just kind of, I come from like humble beginnings, as they say, but he was always, as a kid, you know, living in a shitty neighborhood, and then my dad would, he'd make me do these weird exercises, right? Like, he'd make me get in front of the mirror and be like, you know, I believe in myself, like, I'm my own hero, I'm this and that, and it was, I grew up having that drive of thinking, like, that I was something, you know, and I was like, then I went to San Diego, and I'm like, dude, I'm from the hood, I didn't understand it, because in my mind, like, I'd almost been brainwashed to believe in myself to a different degree, so basically my work at one point was like, I saw the lack of like not only a critical thought, but also just like that like people believing in themselves, or like this the way that historically our neighborhoods have been, it's always set up in a way that we don't always have self confidence, you know, and so
more trapped and
yeah.
shit.
And so my work's been about that, about being having a critical thought process, being conscious, understanding political history, understanding social history, and it's really charged with that, you know. And I support a lot of political causes, but I also make art about. I mean, I make art about mental health. I make art about, because that's another thing we don't talk about in the community, but it's like
hell yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yo no tengo problemas.
Yeah, exactly. But stress and anxiety, and then, you know, addictions, and a lot of these things are prominent in the neighborhoods, you know. Yeah, but
should make one of Bill Cosby.
That's just gonna be hard.
And instead of putting Hope, put Nap.
This bitch got woozy on me. And you were saying high school real quick, just to that, you know, you were all like, you know, fuck the system, fuck all this bullshit. Yeah. Did music have something to do with that?
Big shit? Time.
Who was one of the bands?
So obviously Rage. You know what was funny is that a lot of it was, you know, Rage Against the Machine and like political music, English stuff, Public Enemy for sure, but. In my family, I was the only person with a computer that had a CD burner. So my uncles and all neighbors, they would pay me to burn them CDs.
Pirateria.
Yeah, exactly. And
de los bookies.
All that stuff, bookies, theaters. And so my parents listened to like 80s stuff, like the, you know, like Depeche Mode or like.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, all the 80s stuff, like Michael Jackson and all that stuff. Because they're young. And my dad's just turned, he's like 52, and my mom's 49. Or my dad's just turned 53. But
El Thriller.
Exactly. So they were into all that stuff. And then my grandma, like, she was at that time, it was like 16, I was like 14, 15, 16. My grandma was, she had cancer, and she died a year later, but she already knew she was dying. And she would write me lists of random stuff. And she wrote me like a list of like 10 songs to live by. And it was like Un Día a la Vez by Tigres del Norte, and a couple other tracks. But when she wrote that, I'm like, I have all their CDs at my house because my uncle just let me borrow my uncle's friend let him borrow them so I can burn them for him, right? And I started listening to some of Tigre's music, and they were political. I was like, what the
fuck? Oh, hell yeah, dude. You listen to that shit?
Contrabando y Traición.
That was, I think, the first hit.
I have a lot of these records on vinyl, too.
Oh, yeah, dude? Yeah,
I have like two.
On Fonovisa.
Yeah, and then it was these. And then I have Chalino's early stuff when he was still recording in
Chemo Records?
Pomona. No, it was Disco Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Disco Arquial.
Arquial.
So, in El Centro, man, you grew up in El Centro. You went to the Date Festival and all that shit?
No, you know what's funny is my parents weren't really into anything that the community did. We didn't really kick it there. Most of my social life was in Mexicali. Like, my grandma lived there, my cousins lived there, everyone lived there. And this is before 9/11, so you can go and come back like
and
really
please?
Easy. Yeah. Now there's like 2-hour lines, and it's just you just
forget about it, huh?
Sucks. Yeah, it sucks.
¿Dónde está el pasaporte?
Yeah, exactly. And back then you didn't need. It was just easy to go and come back, and so most of my social life was over there. Max, yeah.
There's a tell the story, man. My mom was telling me the story when I was in Las Vegas that they were standing in that big ass line when we were little kids, and they were gonna cross the border, and my mom forgot her fucking green card, dog. She went to Mexico without her green card. So now they're going to cross the border. And then my mom is telling my dad that, no, I'll tell the border patrol, you know, that I lost. And he goes, no, cabrona, salte de mi carro. Get out of my car. And you go fucking stand in line. You walk in and you explain your story. Don't explain your story inside my car. So my mom had to go outside of the fucking car. Uh-huh. And stand in a big ass line, and she made it out before us.
Throw my way.
No, you're talking McDonald's.
You guys want some fries?
She was at McDonald's eating Big Mac by herself.
Where was this at?
In Tijuana border.
Yeah, yeah.
She went to San Isidro.
In La Aduana.
And then she crossed the border, and she explained to them, you know, I forgot my green card, and this is what happened. So my dad to win in line and shit.
That's back when honesty was the best policy.
Yeah, I was a little kid. I don't know where I was. But yeah, my mom actually forgot, dude. One time I swear to God, dude, we were traveling somewhere, and we were like in Ensenada at a gas station, and we drove all the way, bro, I think to the, I don't know how far we were, but probably close to halfway to Tijuana, and my mom said, fuck it, we forgot your little brother.
Fallbrook.
We left that food in Ensenada, bro, at the gas station. And we had to drive back from fucking the border all the way back to get this motherfucker.
And where was that fool at, dog?
Waiting there crying, bro.
Shut the fuck up.
Nobody stole his ass. That was before kids were Mexican. Kids weren't a hot Mexican kids weren't a hot commodity back then.
He didn't even get like a little FaceTime on a milk carton, dog.
He got left behind. No, man.
How old was that fool?
I don't know, bro. You have seven kids, but you keep fucking track of those motherfuckers. Shit, my father should have had a tracking device for us. Eh? But imagine, bro, that fool went back and he was there. But imagine if he wasn't. My dad would have been fucking up my mom, bro. Cabrona, no cuida tus hijos. You know how parents, my dad would have told my mom, cabrona, you can't watch your fucking kids. Where the fuck were you at? Pumping gas.
Pues hacer otro.
Now, when we got back, my brother had a job already, bro. He was cleaning windows. For real, but he had more money than us. What happened, bro? You were gone for 2 hours. What did you learn? I know how to make las palos now.
Me topé con un empresario, güey.
That boy wearing a pretty shirt and everything.
Looking for those 43 students.
So what's up, bro? You know, fucking bust out a fucking rest in peace, Chapolin.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't... I was traveling when that happened, but yeah, sometimes I do a quick piece. But
so, man, so how did you ever like meet comedians in El Centro that traveled, that passed through and shit, got laid and left?
Yeah, well, so Gabriel, I met him, and then the other dude that you were saying, the one with the T-shirt, Patrick.
Patrick Gear.
That dude.
The other day. That fool's blind as fuck.
Rudy, I met him. I met Paul Rodriguez down there.
You know what?
Hey!
How about Big Dog, dog?
What's up, bro? You're gonna mention me, dog. So what's up, man? How did you meet Gabriel Iglesias? You said you were telling him you were...
Yeah, so it was at this place called the PAL, the Police Athletic League. It was in the north side, so it's like it was a boxing gym. I don't know if it's still around, but I guess Paul Rodriguez donated the money to make a hall, like it's a quinceañera hall, but it was called Paul Rodriguez Hall, and they did a stand-up show.
Pollo Loco money.
Exactly. Pollo Loco money. But it was, they brought Gabriel down there, and I was too young to go to the show. I think it was either 18 plus or 21 plus, but I was about 13, and I had to tell my mom, I want to go to the show. I don't know if they're going to let me in, and she's like, just go the day before and see if, you know, there's a way. And I went in, and it was actually one of the cops that was setting up the venue. I asked him if I can see the show anyway. He's like, yeah, just volunteer and, you know, help out and we'll figure it out. And he had me bring down some grocery bags, and I came early the next day, and they actually made me like all those dudes bartender. So I was like,
got you working.
Yep.
Serving drinks, not even 21.
None of them actually drank that time, you know, like Paul Rodriguez wasn't drinking. Like Gabriel just had a bunch. I keep bringing him waters. Like, he just wanted a lot of
Diet Coke.
Was it summertime over there? Was it hot as hell?
I don't remember. I mean, it was so long ago. Yeah, it was. It's either really hot or really cold. It's the desert, you know. But it was. I think I don't remember, but that guy was cool. But anyways, we got in the ring because there's a wrestling ring, and I was just standing in there, and he was like pretending to be a sumo wrestler. I mean, I was really young, and we have like these funny photos. My dad came and took photos of us, and he's like got me in a chokehold, and I'm really young, you know. And then there's another one with Paul Rodriguez, and he still had like his like super oily hair back then.
So the mullet, dog.
Yeah, because he was talking shit about it in his set. It was funny because he went down there and he knew the area so well. He was just clowning on all the, and he knew that if he clowned out Central, he would get upset. So he was talking shit about Mexicali, and everyone loves it, you know, because it's always the Mexicali jokes versus the yeah. So he kind of played into that, and I forgot what we were like. He was just. We were hanging out, all of us, but he kept, like, making fun of me because I was a little kid, you know? And I made fun of his Jerry curl, and he just, like, put his, like, hand on my face, like, shut the fuck up, kid.
Wait a minute. Paul Drew had a Jerry curl?
his mother, whatever.
I remember that. He had the little
one. The bass player from Los Tigres.
That was
Hernandez. Had the little Jimmy Hart going here.
What's the what in the back and party in the back?
But it just it was greasy though, you know. It
business
was,
in the front, party in the back.
It looked greasy, like if he would.
He was in his soul.
Yeah, like. Yeah, that's just funny.
So what you got going next, bro? What's up for you?
Let's see. Right now I'm working. So my day job, I still work. I still help out Shep like 3 days a week. And then I have my own work. But, you know, I think we got that the holiday sale on set. I don't know when you guys are going to air this. Probably be
2 weeks.
Yeah, so it'll
still be Christmas, right?
No, it'll be. Well, this is actually this Saturday. So it'll be already over. But, yeah. But. So what am I working on? Just working on we're actually proposing a my first museum show in Mexico City. So that's
all right.
That's happening. We're working on that now, and hopefully that happens in the next couple of years. You know.
Hell yeah.
So we'll see.
Hell yeah. Buy the poster, people.
Yeah. There's what else is going? Anything else going on, Rafa?
I already gave my sister.
Okay. Cool.
You want to give a shout out to your website, bro?
Yeah, so
echoconganas.com.
Yeah, tell them, bro. The website is echoconganas.com, and then you know, I got prints there for sale. I'm actually getting stickers made right now, and I should. I'm actually gonna have them by like Friday, but I'm gonna put them up for sale soon. And every now, like every, you know, once a month or twice a month, I release new prints, and they're all limited edition, and they're all really affordable, $35 prints. They're not, if like I always tell Raza, you gotta support the arts, and they're like, wow, it's mucho dinero. I'm like, well, you spent $100 on Bud Light, you know, it's all
and you don't even own stock in the company.
I know. So, you flew out there making Budweiser hats. You get a poster, eh?
Get a poster, man.
Get a poster, people. Echoconganas.com. A print. Something. You get people to tell you, man, like, hey, man, I want to get into the... And it's funny when people tell you they want to get into something, but they don't say it right. Like, hey, but I want to get into a comedian, eh? How can I get into a comedian?
You don't remember a long time ago that one fool that came up to you that was doing all real estate and had bitches and all that shit? It was in Rancho Cucamonga. How could I do what you do and shit, all crazy? And this was all, first of all, you got to get one of those chicks over here, dog. But he wouldn't get off you, dog. He was taking it right there from success of a real estate market to a booming comedian. Yeah.
I'm about to be loaded.
Yeah, you're a little buzzed, but... But he was all on this fool.
How do I do what you do? First of all, you're driving a better car than me.
I know.
You want to drop? You want to drive your pay salary? You want to go from making seven figures a month to making that in a year? That was a comedian. He used to say that. I went from making $7,000 a month. I haven't made that shit in a year doing comedy. So what's up, man? We going back to Christmas for the holidays?
Me and my girlfriend are going to. We're gonna go on a little trip. I'm ruining a surprise right now, but I forgot about
2 weeks.
When is it? 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully they don't listen to it because we're gonna be going to. Like, you're in Hawaii the 19th, yep. Right? And then like 2 days later, we're gonna be there to surprise someone. So hopefully that someone doesn't listen. Maybe we cut that out. Okay. Yeah, because her sister just moved over there, and we're gonna surprise her. But that's on the 23rd. But she actually told me, she's like, dude, Felipe is gonna be out there, and I was like, damn. But yes.
It's all right. We'll cut that off. You're gonna go to,
you don't know where I'm going to be.
You're going to be in...
You're
going to be in West Covina, people.
Yeah, you got a crazy horse, eh? Do what you do.
He wants to be an artist now.
I want to get into what you do. Hey, bro, how can I get into arting?
How do you do this new arting?
Into photography.
I do taggings, bro.
And is there people that think that all you do is cut and paste and shit?
No, I think a lot of people think that I do everything on the computer, and it's like I use a lot of the stuff I do. I use this really old method of illustrating. It's called RubyLith, and it's I cut a lot of the stuff by hand on with a razor blade. And it creates a clean line. So even like the portrait I did of you, remember I had that, like, it was a red film.
Yeah.
So that's like the original. I scan that, and then that becomes a digital.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it's, but there's always funny because like Rasa's always funny with their proposals of business. You know, they're like, hey man, let's put all your stuff on shirts and I'll sell them at the swap meet. Like, and then we'll go 50-50. They always like want to.
The Malabeno Hotel Center, dog. Yeah.
They always got some kind of crazy, like proposition.
Let's business. Throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. Great. Can I hear myself? Oh, well. Can you hear me? All right, good. They come over like, hey, bro, we should just work together to see what happens. They, but they don't do shit.
Huh. I want you to do all the work.
I remember the comedians, they would get together and go, hey, bro, let's get together and write. And they would show up, and all their notepads with no ideas, just blank, waiting for me to say something. So what's up, fool, man? Thank you very much, man. We had here Rafael Cardena, bro. What's up? What are you doing for Christmas?
Just spending at home with the family. So nothing crazy.
No posadas, nothing?
No. Maybe, yeah.
You're not going to visit Cebolla?
If we do the Boyle Heights posada, I'll be out there shooting it. Yeah.
All right. Any Los Reyes de Magos events? So Juan Garcia left?
Yeah, he took off. He's got to go take
Juan Garcia, the artist, people, not the comedian who needs rides.
Dick.
Yeah, he's a photographer.
I have a car now.
So what's up, fool? Get a hold of Juan Luis Garcia at juanluisgarcia.com and check out his Face Value project. And if you guys are looking for something to fund this year, I would say fund that. And we have Rafa Cardenas here, East Side Rider, shot caller of City Terrace. Hey, growing up, did you know a guy named Jose Ruiz?
No.
Okay, just asking, bro. Because that's the only guy I know from City Terrace. He used to fix my bikes. All right. So, Rodrigo, what you got next, bro? Getting fatter or what, for holidays?
Just chilling, fool. Chilling the fuck out, you know what I mean? Illing out.
December 24th at the Laugh Factory still?
Yeah, fool. It's there every Monday at the Sunset Room. In Hacienda. And that's about it, dog. Fucking kicking it, dog.
Ernesto Llerena, what's up, fool? What's your webpage again? Tell people know.
So it's echoconganas.com. And, yeah.
So what's up, everybody? What's up, fool? If you're listening, December 26th through the 21st, I'll be in Reno at Pioneer Underground. January, I'll be in San Diego, California, El Paso, Texas, Tampa, Florida, and Ontario, California. What's up, fool? Thank you, Rafael, for being here, man. Being a part of the show, making that shit funny. You too, bro, right here, giving a little Paul Rodriguez mullet stories.
Hey, enough with the hair.
And then Juan and shit with his father stories.
Huh. No me griten.
No me griten, cabrón. So, people, man, if you want to get into painting, man, don't give up, man. Don't give up, man. It isn't about being rich and famous. It's about having your print on shirts.
Exactly, man.
At the mall.
And don't forget, man, no matter what, man, whatever you copyright in America, it doesn't matter if it's in China. Because I'm pretty sure I'm Shepherd Fairey shit is bootleg all over China, huh?
I mean, even here, everywhere.
Everywhere, know. Huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
I will see his style sometimes and other stuff, and I know that it's not his and it's not yours. Because you did that photo for me, and 2 weeks later, some comedian had the same photo.
They like the Starburst.
Is there? Yeah, maybe.
It's still a Shepherd's Fairy app.
Oh, it posterizes.
Shepherd it.
Yeah, Shepify it.
I made it up.
Tell him to hire a brother.
Hire a brother, bro.
You heard it.
He's not 14 no more, bro. I don't know if you heard, man. You've been away for a while, man. He don't serve drinks no more. He still shines shoes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Give us some fucking Emilio Rivera, bro.
Hey, homie, it's a good thing you're doing for the community yourself, the Rasha, but keep going, homie. You know, Tijuana wasn't... It wasn't built in a day, homes. It just looks that way. Really.
The fool afraid to do the full impersonation when he was in front of him.
I don't want to get a back then.
I'm curious about the Diaz voice now.
What Diaz voice, bro? There's no voice. There's just a person and that's it. Happy holidays, cocksuckers. Let's get out of here. Where the fuck to find you at? And where's the weed, Rafa? I'm waiting.
Over here, bringing a bowl with MTF bowl. I saw that bowl. It looked like a fucking crack pipe, bro. I'm like, damn, if we took the Brillo out.
Piedrita,
so what's up, fool? Support, dude. I ain't gonna lie, dog. When I was living in Frogtown, Elysian Valley, I used to smoke crack with this black fool. And it got into, when that fool used to fucking do arts, like spray can stuff. But he'll do like, it was his art. But that fool would just do like 10 of them real fast. And then he'll stand over there by Bank of America on Glendale Avenue. And he'll be outside. Do y'all support the art? Do y'all support the arts? What do you use the money for? I use the money to give kids free art lessons. And I give away paintings. And then that fool gets some cash and we'll smoke that shit up, right, homeboy? But one time he took me with him, bro, and he was trying to sell art. And I was all fucking all cracked out next to him. I didn't know what I was doing there, bro. I had money. But I was standing next to him and I'm like, you don't buy your art, bitch? This motherfucker working hard for his art. Yo, Felipe, man, you need to calm down. Nah, man. You don't know you spend fucking 3 hours doing this shit? You don't want to support the arts? And then that note, what's up, fool? Thank you very much. Shout out to everybody here.
Hell yeah.